Last week we were looking at Matthew chapter 9, and our theme this year is Love Compels, and we were talking about how do we get to the place where we can see people the very same way that Jesus did, which was Matthew chapter 9. Well, at the very end of Matthew chapter 9, Jesus gives an open invitation for all of his followers, not just 12, because he'd not chosen 12 yet. He gave an open invitation, who will help me? Their opportunities are out there. Who will help be a shepherd? Who will help get in the harvest field? And after that open invitation, in the Gospel of Luke, it says that Jesus spent a whole night praying, and the next morning, on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, again, his multitude of followers are there. He chose 12 of them to become apostles. And so that's the passage you want to look at today. It's Matthew chapter 10. And Sue, if you don't mind putting me up on the screen, that would be great. So let's look at this passage together. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him, and he gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First Simon, who is called Peter, his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. By the way, that prohibition is over now because there was a period of time where the kingdom of God was just for the Jewish people. They got to go in first. But that's changed. All of the anyone who's not Jewish, that's most of us, we're considered Gentiles. Those days are over, and everyone gets the gospel now. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. Verse 7, as you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you receive, freely give. So this morning we want to talk about that God has called every single one of us into his ministry. Whether you work in an office, at GM or Ford, whether you are unemployed, whether you're a student, whether you even work in a Christian ministry and happen to work for TACF or some other organization, every single person is called. And I'm hoping that you actually feel that God has called you by name. So as you go through this list, it's very interesting that the people that Jesus called, and there's a whole bunch of people that feel the reason Jesus spent a whole night praying was because he didn't like the people that put their hands up to say, I'll help you. And he's going, God, you can't be serious with these folks. So I've just given you a quick one. Look at Peter here, self-businessman, self-made guy, lots of money, owns a fishing fleet. His problems, it clearly says in the Bible he's not educated. And it also would appear that he's got like really compulsive behaviors. Then we have a guy by the name of Andrew, who's his younger brother. And Andrew's a fisherman. He works for his bigger brother. This guy's got a soft heart. And he's constantly bringing people to Jesus. He's connecting people to Jesus, which is a good thing. You've got James, the son of Zebedee. Zebedee means, one of the nicknames for these guys were the sons of thunder. Remember that? Sons of a bad temper is what we're talking about. And these guys are racists. They hate the Samaritans. Remember, they asked Jesus to call down fire on a Samaritan village. James and John. Remember John, the nice guy, favorite friend of Jesus? This guy is a racist when he begins his time with Jesus. Doesn't like the Samaritans. That's not good, is it? Then we get Philip, who's also working for Peter. So five of the guys of the 12 are all tight. They're working for one guy, Peter. That sounds like a little bit of a cliquish kind of thing in the 12, doesn't it? Do you think Jesus is going to have any problems with these five, you know, putting their hands up and being a voting block all the time? Philip likes to ask questions, good questions, and he's very comfortable bringing other people groups to Jesus. For example, there's a passage that says that he brought Greek people to Jesus, where a whole bunch of Jewish people would never touch or not, would never talk to a Greek person. This guy is very happy to do that. So he's bringing people of different cultures, and two of the guys don't like other cultures. You understand that? So we could have some interesting personalities here. Bartholomew, who's also called Nathanael, there's not a lot known about him, but the Bible talks about that he was honest and a man of integrity. Thomas, don't know what his job was. It's very interesting. He's called the twin. And the twin could mean that he actually had a twin brother, or it also is used to mean in the scriptures double-minded, maybe schizophrenic. Maybe. Like that's one of the possibilities of a guy like Thomas. is that he's got some depression issues, and a third of all Canadians have some sort of mental health issue. The reason I'm going through all these names is because you and I are in these 12. Did you know that? Jesus chose people just like us. So you got a guy named Thomas. Then you've got Matthew, who's also called Levi. He would be the modern-day mafia guy. He doesn't work for the Jewish people. He works against the Jewish people. He's working for Rome, and he's pressuring people to give money, and he goes around and shows up and demands money. That sounds like what mafia does. He's got a tight group of friends that no one else likes, but he likes them, and they're all wealthy. You've got a guy named James, who possibly is Matthew's brother, because both of them have a father named Alphaeus. We don't know too much about James. We know nothing about Thaddeus. And so Thaddeus, for those of you who never get noticed, never get picked on, no one knows about you, you have a hero in the Bible. We don't know anything about Thaddeus. Then there's Simon the Zealot. It's interesting that the Bible uses this phrase zealot, because zealots were the modern-day freedom fighters. They were the terrorists. In the province of Quebec a few years ago, they would have been the FLQ. That's what they were like. That's what zealots were like. They would blow up Roman horses. No, I guess they didn't blow up horses in those days. But that's what they were doing, is they were strongly antagonistic against the Jewish people. So how do you think Simon gets along with Matthew, who's working for the Romans? They wouldn't have got along. That's the whole point. Do you see the eclectic group that Jesus chose? Ordinary people. Then you got Judas, don't know his job. And it's very interesting that almost every time he's talked about, the harshness of how the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John write about him, that almost every time Judas is mentioned, it says who would betray Jesus. The interesting thing is that when Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed by Judas, says, someone's going to betray me. Do you know what the Bible says? Every single person turned and pointed at Judas and said, it's you. The Bible doesn't say that. Every single one of them said, is it me? Nobody had figured out Judas and what his motives were. No one knew what was hidden in his heart other than Jesus. And so and this is one of the reasons why they were so shocked and why the writers would put this in there, is because for 3.5 years they've been living with a guy who's been a fraud. So what about you and me? If Jesus called these kind of folks, how many of you think that you're an upgrade from these people? I think I'm a little bit better than some of these folks. Yes? No one else think that you're a little bit better than some of these folks? These are the kind of people that Jesus deliberately chose to change the world. People who were a little bit quirky, a little bit weird, have ups and downs. Some people have money. It appears that some guys were freeloaders. Others are stealing money. All different kind of people. The point is that Jesus did not care where you start. He's concerned about where you're going to go. He's concerned about what happens when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you. What kind of transformation can take place? That's a good thing, isn't it? How many of you are a little bit like Peter? A little impetuous, a little outgoing, talk before you think. I have some bad days like that. How many of you are a little bit like Matthew? You're well-connected and skirting on borderline criminal activities. You don't have to put your hands up. Rob Shaw, stand up. Stand up, Rob. Rob used to be in that group. Rob used to be an international smuggler of drugs and weapons and jewels and all that kind of stuff before he came to know Jesus. That's not what he is today. Today he's a missionary. Did you know that? We all get to start with those with weird stuff. That's the whole point of why Jesus chose these guys, is to show you and me that he can use all of us. That's the point. Well, the second thing we want to talk about is Jesus, when he chose these guys, he clearly said, I have a mandate for you. Now, I want you to understand that in the Christian world today, only one of every 300 followers of Jesus is ever going to get a paycheck from a Christian ministry. One of every 300. So let's say there's 900 of us here this morning. That means three of us. I'm one of them, because I am getting a paycheck. Mary Audrey's getting a paycheck. Sam's getting a paycheck. The rest of you don't get a paycheck. So when Jesus is calling people to ministry, what's he talking about? He's talking about where you are. If you work at GM, you work at Ford, you work in an investment corporation, you work on Bay Street, you work in a school system, you work in a hospital, wherever you work, you're called into ministry. Yes? And the book of Colossians and Ephesians talks about that the job that you have really isn't the 9-to-5 job that you have, but you're there as an ambassador. You are called by God to where you are working. Yes? That's what the Bible teaches. And the instructions that we have are in this passage. And it's basically, here's your job description while you are getting paid by GM. While you're getting paid by Revenue Canada, working in corporate office, wherever you are, this is your job while you're having your 9-to-5 job. This is what you're doing during your coffee break. This is what you're doing before the work starts. This is why you bring the jelly beans into your office. This is why you do that kind of stuff. Our job is to be announcing the kingdom of God is near. Everyone, there's hope. We're to be ministering to the sick and raising the dead and cleansing lepers and driving out demons and all that kind of stuff. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Can I tell you about a friend of mine named Terrier? I told some of our folks this week on Wednesday. Terrier is a Norwegian guy. He's connected in with Partners in Harvest. In fact, we have a school of ministry in Norway that Terrier runs. When Duncan goes to North Africa, he goes with Terrier. Terrier's the guy. And I was with Terrier 2 weeks ago in England, 3 weeks ago now, and I said, tell me your best story of the last month. And this is what he told me. He said, I got a phone call from a pastor in Mali, which is a Muslim nation. This is a former Muslim who is now a follower of Jesus and one of his pastors. And the static on the phone is really bad, and he can't figure out what's going on other than he hears this pastor's name who he knows is not well. And that he gets the idea, I'm supposed to pray. He says, put the phone to the guy's ear. Can you do that? Yes, we can do that. They put the phone to the guy's ear. In the spirit, in Norway, he's beginning to feel, I'm supposed to speak life into the man. Speaks life, prays life for like a minute. End of a minute, there's he hears a shout and a cheer. Someone gets back on the phone, and the phone's a little clearer now, and this man that he's been praying for has been dead for a couple days, and he's just raised him back from the dead over a phone call. That's like 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago. That's what our job is. That's our job. Let's keep going. Here's the amazing thing. Jesus does not send you out unequipped. And every single one of these 12, these little bit of misfits, don't fit in, they're not the best part, they're not the cream of society. And Jesus gives them authority and anointing. And so in verse 1, in that very beginning, he says he gave them authority to drive out the spirits. Here's the shocking part of that. In the whole of the Old Testament, not one person ever got free of a demonic spirit. Never. The best you could do was quiet a spirit down. So David, when he's a young guy, brings his harp into King Saul's throne area, and when Saul is demonized, he plays quiet, soaking music, and the spirit dies down, but it doesn't leave. And Jesus gives permission to people, ordinary folks, who have no idea what they're doing, and gives them authority to command demons to go, and they did it. On the heels of Jesus choosing these 12, there's 70 that weren't even good enough to get on this list. And he sent them out, and they came back and just overwhelmed that demons have to listen to us. Friends, in the whole of the Old Testament, it never happened. But ordinary folks, because of the anointing of the Holy Spirit on their life and the authority that Jesus has given us to represent him, to be his ambassadors, we can do that kind of stuff. Isn't that good news? I want you to think of the very first time when Jesus is ministering in Capernaum. It's talked about in Mark chapter 1. And he's speaking in this synagogue on a Saturday morning. And a guy stands up who's demonized and yells and screams out, "We know who you are. You're the Holy One of God." And Jesus says to the spirit in him, "Shut up and get out." And the guy trembles, falls to the ground, and everyone is in shock because the guy's in his right mind. And for the first time in history, a spirit has left someone. And the people go, what kind of authority does he have? What kind of preaching is this? That just offhand, shut up, stop interrupting me, get out? And a spirit has to listen to him. And so the crowds went crazy. And the Bible says that at sundown, because when the Sabbath day was over, at sundown on the Saturday, the whole area brought all of their demonized friends to Peter's house for Jesus to have a meeting with them. And the Bible says he healed them all. Can you imagine what that was like? For all of a sudden, there's hope. All of a sudden, there's, oh my goodness, I didn't think I could do this. When the 12 began to realize that they had this kind of power and authority, you get people like Judas who misunderstand it and think, okay, we're in for a bonus here. We're going to be taking over the government. I'm going to be the minister of finance or whatever he was hoping for. And they're thinking politics, they're thinking power, they're thinking authority because they have an anointing on their lives now. The Holy Spirit is using them. And their hopes and their aspirations are still not godly yet. You understand that? And there's always this mix, which is an interesting thing, of the Holy Spirit being in you and I, and we're still scum of the earth sometimes. Maybe not scum, we're above scum. We're moss sometimes. On a bad day, you and I aren't very good, are we? We still lie, we still cheat, we still think about having sex with other people we're not married to. Yes? No? That's the way we are. Some of you know, that's good. But that's the way we are, isn't it? And the truth is that even on those bad days, the Holy Spirit is with you and with me. Is that not true? Even on a day when your mind is in the gutter, the Holy Spirit is still with you that day. His calling, the Bible says, is irrevocable. Once you sign up to be a follower of Jesus, I'm sorry, but you're in. And you have a measure of the anointing. You have a measure of the Holy Spirit with you from then on. And God wants to use you from then on.